Steam locomotives were some of the most powerful machines ever built. They pulled trains that fueled our imagination. They represented vision, collaboration, ingenuity, customer service, and extraordinary human achievement. But in order to get to their destination, it took someone guiding them through a series of switches in order to get to the main line. Just like leaders today, it takes someone directing them down the right path in order to get to their destination. Welcome to Mainline Executive Coaching ACT, which stands for and Cultural Transformation, hosted by Master Certified Intelligent Leadership Executive Coaches Michael Bailey and Rich Barron. With over 50 years of successful cultural transformation and quantum leadership development between them. Once again, thanks for joining us and enjoy today's show.
Thank you for joining us. This is Mainline Executive Coaching, ACT, ACT, Action Leaders Act. Leaders must be engaged in action, get their teams in action, get performance done, relationships created, connected, making things happen, and cultural transformation. That's what we do here. We're helping folks do that. Rich Barron, my partner, is here with me. I am with him. I am Michael Bailey. We're going to be talking about kind of straight to the heart kind of a thing for you leaders out there. And it's about the subject of hiring. And it's not about hiring other people to come into your organization. It's about this question. If you were hiring yourself into a leadership position, would you hire you?
Yeah.
That's what we want to look at.
That's a hard question.
It is a hard question. It is a revealing question. And we've got some statistics here that we want to share with you that's going to kind of bring it home, bring in the reality of what is going on in terms of leadership and where are you likely to fall in to these statistics in terms of your abilities, your talents, and your ability to be effective with your team. So, Rich, let's talk about it, because we work with people all the time, helping them get into new positions, leadership, management, stuff like that. This idea, and we see it really close. I don't know what's going on with people, one-on-one kind of stuff. So what about this idea? If you were a leader hiring into a leadership position, would you hire you? That's the kind of the whole thing. Let's take a look at this. Let's get into the stats.
Well, I want to start out with, there's a couple of them. I'm going to start out with the one that was done by Kaiser Leadership Group. Did a survey, 24,000 leaders over the last 6 years, and they developed a 360 tool, okay, that they gave to each one of these 24,000 leaders stakeholders and asked them some pretty specific questions about them. The results when they came back were very telling in that only 9% of those 24,000 leaders that surveyed have the versatility and timing and leadership skills to be truly effective.
Let me say that again. Let's make sure everybody hears that, because people are not going to believe that.
Only 9% of the 24,000 leaders that participated in this survey, done by their stakeholders. It wasn't them answering their own questions. It was a 360 done by their stakeholders. So how people perceive you, how people see your leadership abilities. When the results came back, only 9% of the 24,000 showed that they had the versatility and timing in leadership skills to be truly effective. That means 91%. Almost 22,000 of these leaders that participated do not have the leadership skills to be truly effective.
Yeah, that's a startling, shocking statistic. You have 24,000 leaders, and out of that 24,000 leaders, less than 2,400 of them are really capable leaders.
Yes.
That's a small number. That's a very small number.
Very small number. But then when you start to unpack other statistics, Michael, that really reflect in many ways the accuracy of this survey, then you start to understand that, yes, globally, leadership development is in trouble. Leaders in general are in trouble. And for the most part, they don't realize it, or they refuse to really take a deep look at what it is that's causing the problems.
Well, let's take a look at that. Let's take a look, stand back and take a look at that, because what you have just told us is not leadership and management, directors, partners, and all that kind of, it is really, it gets down to, we're talking the C-level.
Yeah.
We're talking about people in C-level positions.
Yes.
That there's probably a good chance that there's 10 people that C-level, however they do that, out of that number, there's probably only one person in that 10 of the C-level that actually knows what the heck they're doing and does it well.
And does it well. Some of those 10 may be doing okay. Mm. But if you look at the global statistics, 75% of all leaders out there are struggling. Not only struggling, they're failing. They're failing. And even to back that up even further, in the United States and Canada, three out of four employees report that they work with a toxic boss. Again, that's 75%. You know, the numbers just keep stacking up. Here's another interesting one, and this kind of goes along with some of this as well, Michael, is that most leaders get into their first leadership position by the time they're 26 to 32 years old. That's on average. But the average for a person actually starting leadership development and going through, to get really build those skills and talents, whether it's a company paying for it or whether an individual is looking for a coach, is 43 years old. That's a decade plus of lost time, struggles, not having that, basic toxic leadership of do what I say, not, and just get it done, where we see this time and time again, where leaders who don't have other skills, out of almost desperation, a lot of ways, resort to that tactic.
Let's take a look at, there's some drivers here, I think, that we really need to take a look at. There are the drivers at the top that can be doing that. They're board of directors.
Yes.
Board of directors can be driving the numbers, the profitability of the organization. There's that, those kind of, what we're looking at is, can we make the numbers? Are we making money as investors, shareholders in the business? And at that level, there's enough distance between those people and the people that are actually working in the business that there's kind of a, you can't care about people at that distance. You don't know their names. You don't know their families. You don't know their backgrounds. You don't know their struggles. You don't know them personally, the great aspects and everything else. So there's, I don't care because I don't know. There's that aspect about it. There's also drivers in companies of investment bankers.
Yes.
Now the investment bankers, some of those people can be lunatics.
Oh, because, and we have seen that. That's, you're not just stating that. We have seen this firsthand. Some of these holding firms.
Yeah. They definitely don't care.
Numbers and profits and revenues are driving some of these companies and the people in the companies in the absolute wrong direction.
Yeah. And there you go. So there's this disconnection. Anytime, here's a fundamental truth about human beings. Once you disconnect from one human being to another reason, for another human being, for whatever reason, you're now setting up a situation of unhealthiness, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, however you want to say it, because we need each other together to be healthy. We need to help each other. But if the focus is not on each other's well-being, it's on the numbers, on the profitability, it is inevitable that organization is going to be unhealthy. And you're going to see these kind of numbers that we're talking about here. Now, that's one end of the things that feed. Of course, you can have basic toxic bosses. They own their own companies, but they're not very healthy themselves. They're just kind of awesome. So the other end of it is this. How well do these people that are coming up through the ranks understand what are the predicates that must be put in place before you can actually become a leader. And there's simple things. We used to talk about this stuff a long time ago. And that is, how well do you manage yourself? How healthy are you? How do you motivate yourself? How do you get things done? How do you manage your time? How do you manage your energy? How do you manage your focus? That's coming from a position pretty much of what we would one time call that being an adult.
Yes, absolutely.
And how many people are kvetching now about adulting? How many people don't want to grow up?
Yeah, yeah.
And yet they feel entitled to be able to do and go into any position that they want, yet they don't even have the basic elements together in themselves to now go and be a leader, sit in that leadership position. Yeah. So you got both ends. You got the top-down people that think, you know, I'm just thinking about the money. You got other people that just aren't mature enough emotionally or intellectually to take it on, but they think they should have that. And so inevitably, you're going to have a disaster, which is what these numbers talk about. This is a disaster.
Oh, it absolutely is. And here's something I want to point out, and I don't want this to sound derogatory. I want you to take this for what this is, for you people listening. The old, well, we look back at some of the statistics about 26 to 30 getting in their first roles, 43 being the first age that, you know, people are really seeking out these leadership positions. The interesting thing about this is the oldest millennials are now 42 years old. In the United States, there's about 52 million millennials in the workforce. 11, and it's estimated that 11.2 million of them are in leadership positions. As a matter of fact, the majority of leadership positions are now being held by millennials. But yet millennials, that this same group, 63% of them, according to studies from Deloitte and Korn Ferry and some of the others, are stating that they are not getting the leadership development from the companies that they need or personally. That's 8.4 million of the 11 million people. So really, if we take a good look at this, man, it just, the numbers keep adding up and adding up and adding up to where, you know, we want to impress upon those people that are listening to us how important it is that you get leadership development and develop those particular skills that you need. The world's in a crisis and it's not going to change. And if you don't have the skills to manage those crises or manage the people in a crisis, you're in trouble.
And that number, 43 years old, that has another significance.
Yes.
And here's what that significance is. That's the age that men and women, particularly men, have a midlife crisis.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And that is real. There is a whole physiology that men go through, and women go through a different kind of a thing, going through the midlife change that they go through. But it's still, it is, some is very traumatic, some is very, very emotional. But there are huge brain chemicals that start to go and play and come into play between 42, 43, 45, 48, there's literally a change as big as when you were coming out of your preteen areas area into becoming a teenager. You remember how tumultuous that was.
Yeah.
And it goes back to like, well, who am I? I don't even know who I am now. And, you know, and who are my friends? And where do I want to go? And what do I expect of myself? All that stuff happens way back there. It's happening to those people now. So in this crisis of not being trained and coached as a leader, seeing the people that they are leading and the organizations that they're in are not doing well, there's a crisis in the country and the economy and the world throughout. They aren't prepared for this. Now you add to that the fact that they're going through some sort of midlife crisis. It's no wonder that these people are bailing. There's no answers. All they see is the walls closing in. Not only the walls, but the ceiling and the floor, and they're just being scrunched down. They freaking do not know what to do.
And so they bail out.
What else can they do? What else would you do?
Yep. Let's get to this topic that we were talking about, Michael. And really, when it comes down to it, it's about talent. It always has been about talent. putting the right talent in the right place. And with all these numbers we've just thrown out there, and you know, these are pretty telling numbers. They're the startling statistics. And the thing is, we see this all the time. We can back up these things all the time with the people we're talking to. Would you hire yourself?
Here's where we really brought it to in this discussion, and that's this. Would you hire yourself if you're looking at yourself to go into a leadership position? And the answer might be initially, you know, based upon what it is I know and what I've been through, no. However, what I would provide for myself is this kind of training, this kind of coaching, this kind of mentoring. All the things that we've been talking about that are absent, that are neglected, that are just giving no time and no attention to because the house is caving in. Nobody thinks about, you know, if you had good leaders, they could put the walls back up, reinstall the ceilings and everything else. That's what they would do. That's what they could do. Yeah. The fact of the matter, if you were coming at it like if I could, it's like that whole, there's a term for it. It's what Captain Kirk went through. Remember when he was going through the academy?
Yeah.
It was set up so that you would fail. No matter what you did, you would fail.
Yeah.
There's a term for it. And I'm sure somebody listening right now knows that term. But the idea was he didn't like that idea that no matter what you did, you'd fail. So he went back in and he changed the program so that it was possible to succeed.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do, leaders. You got to change the formula here. You got to change how this thing works so that you, your people, your teams, your organization can succeed, can get on top of it. And the big thing here is change the way you get training, change your leadership, training, development, coaching. That's what must be changed. If you do not change that, it's not going to happen. The walls are going to collapse. And they said, well, they don't have the money. Well, here's the big deceit here. They never have the money. But they got the money for the big go away resorts. They got the money to pay the big salaries. Yeah. They got the money for the things that they want to go and do. That's the freaking problem. They've really been doing, not robbing the golden eggs out of the nest. They've been doing that. They have not been dividing those up really honestly and fairly, but they're now whacking off the heads of the geese that lay the golden eggs.
Yeah.
And then when they do that, they blame you.
They blame you. They do. You know, and this question that we ask, would you hire yourself, for someone that's one of these younger emerging leaders that are just getting into their first leadership position, so excited that they've got a title now, they've been promoted, someone in the company notice them as a great individual performer, which or a contributor, which is a topic that we could unpack all day long, how wrong that is and how damaging that can be to people. But so those people are probably saying, heck yeah, I'd hire myself. You know, I'm great. This is my first leadership position. They recognize me. Give it a couple of years. Give it a few years. And then come back to this question we're asking you. Would you hire yourself for the same position? Because at that point, I guarantee you, there's going to be some crisis that you've had to go through. There's going to be, you know, how much retention are you causing? You know, or people walking off. If you really take ask that question honestly, how many people have left because of you? Or how many missed opportunities has a company had because you didn't have the skills and talents to keep up? And you may not want to admit that, but that's the first step in getting over the hump and getting down the road to where you need to be.
I like what you're saying there. Those are good principles. If you are ambitious, if you're competitive, if you're hungry, if you got an appetite for success, that's a great thing. Well, get the things done right. Get the things done right so that you make a real authentic claim to the seat.
Yeah.
Just don't claim the seat without that background, without that experience. That's a big thing to do. And it goes in some simple way. It goes in simple ways. Do you know your job? Do other people look to you to get answers? And do you help them effectively? Do you know not only if they come to you, but do you reach out to them to help them grow in their what it is they're doing? Can you bring a team together to really work, work effectively, produce, grow? Can you actually do that? Can you not do it just once? Can you do it a number of times again and again and again? And in that experience, do you recognize emerging leaders and can you help them in their leadership growth?
Yes.
Can you do those things? If you can't do those are just the fundamentals, Rich. There's a whole lot more detail that we could get into that we're not going to get into here.
No.
But if you can't see how to do that, and if you aren't doing it, demonstrating, not proving it, but demonstrating it in terms of who you are day in and day out, you're headed for a shipwreck.
Yep. Absolutely. Here's another issue that's problematic that we see. And it's too bad because this problem doesn't show up till later on. It's these title mongers. Okay. And that's the best term I can get for it, because we see these as, you know, people that they get one title and they springboard to the higher title. They springboard to a next title. And there you see them working their way up the ladder every couple of years, maybe even less, because they might be likable, or they've fallen in with the right group of people, or, you know, they become part of the, you know, the good old boy, good old girl society.
Yeah, they got the facade down.
The facade. But here's the thing. We've seen this several times. Suddenly you get to a position. You've risen to that title that you wanted. And all of a sudden reality hits. There's a reality check. Oh my gosh, they expect me to do what? Or I am now so far in over my head that the only option I have is to pull the chute and go. And the higher up the ladder you are, the further you're going to fall. We have seen this time and time and time again, where it actually crushes people's their personal opinion in themselves, their pride shot. And if you're just chasing that title, my statement to you is, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And if you're not ready, the outcomes can be disastrous, not only for you, but for the company, for your career, for the people around you, your family. The list goes on. There is a right way to do this and a wrong way to do this. And there are no shortcuts to the right way. Yeah, there's no shortcuts.
Can't shortcut it. So if you're ambitious, work.
Yeah.
Get out of the wishing and get into the working.
Yeah.
That's where you're really, really hone your skills, sharpen your chops, get things going. That's what it really happens. Yeah. So would you hire yourself? If you're taking a look at yourself, would you hire yourself? There's a good chance the answer is no, a resounding no, because the statistics back that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And right before this call, I was talking to someone, Michael, and you had asked that same question earlier in a different meeting to some people. And so I was talking to him and he said, Michael asks this question, would I hire me? And he goes, my first thought was, oh, heck yeah, I'd hire me. I'm great. He goes, then I thought about it for a few minutes and I thought, no, I probably wouldn't. I probably wouldn't, knowing what I know about myself and where I need to be.
We got to run here. Got to go.
Okay.
How am I going to wrap this up? You got a shout out for anybody?
Got a shout out for Vienna. I think we talked about Vienna this last time, though.
Mm-hmm. We did.
We did. And so here's one of the milestones. We mentioned this. We now have listeners in over 60 countries and 500 cities globally. And so I got a shout out to everybody who is still supporting us. We know where our biggest downloads are coming from. And so you know who you are. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, very much. All right, that's it. So how do you get a hold of us?
I got to tell you, there's a lot of ways to get a hold of us. LinkedIn is one of the best ways. Michael Bailey, Rich Barron, you can find us on LinkedIn. MichaelBailey.com, and that's M-A-I-K-E-L, Bailey.com, or Rich Barron Executive Coaching. And there are ways to contact us on there. You can look at testimonials from those people that we have worked with. And if the time is now, the time is right. If you want to reach out and talk to us about how we can help you, and it doesn't matter where you are, we work with people around the globe. So it doesn't matter where you're at, give us a call, reach out to us, Let's set a time and let's get to know each other.
Absolutely. In the meantime, leaders lead well. All the best.
With all of the issues facing leaders and organizations today, you need executive coaching more than ever. Go to our websites, richbarronexecutivecoaching.com or michaelbailey.com. You can also find us both on LinkedIn. Reach out to us and let's sit down and find out just how bright your future can be with executive coaching. We'd also like to thank all of our supporters in over 60 countries and 600 cities worldwide who have helped to make us one of the top executive coaching podcasts in the world. From Rich Barron and Michael Bailey, this is Mainline Executive Coaching ACT. Thank you and take care.